Okay, Revelation, and we are now up to chapter 21. So if you'll turn there to Revelation chapter 21, and very important that we understand we're studying the Bible here in this class. How many know what it means to study the Bible? It's different than reading it. You get into it, all right? And you break up the words and you look at it, and I have learned from the time I've been a young man to study the Bible. The first time I really did a study of the Bible was I did a Bible study of the book of Romans. And I really got some convictions in my life because I studied the verses in the context. All right, so that's what we are doing here with Revelation. And very, very important study. Now, we looked at chapter 20 of the book of Revelation. And if you look at chapter 20, it gives you an overview of the time period from the time that Satan is thrown in the bottomless pit until the end of the millennium, where there's going to be what's called the Great White Throne Judgment. So it gives you an overview. Now, some people have made the mistake to think now chapter 21 is going on beyond the Great White Throne Judgment. Actually, no. It's going back in giving you details about the millennium. A lot of people make a mistake here, and I want to talk to you about that because they get confused about this area of Scripture. All right? So go with me to Revelation now, chapter 21. And I submit to you that this is going back to the beginning of the millennium. What is the millennium? Somebody raise their hand and tell me what the millennium is. Just in your own words, Mary and Owen.
The millennium is when Satan is thrown into the bottomless pit.
Yes.
And then the saved will reign on earth for 1,000 years?
Yes, with Christ for 1,000 years. And the millennium is from the Latin word that means thousand, all right? And so it's the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth, okay? And at the end of the millennium, there are some events that are going to take place that mark it off as a special dispensation or administration of God's working on earth. And one of the things will be there'll be an attack. Satan will be loosed out of the bottomless pit. There'll be a great attack by those that were not saved during the millennium, and they will attack the camp of the saints in the city of Jerusalem. And fire will come down from the Lord, and he will destroy them. And that will end the millennium, and then will come right at that time what's called the Great White Throne Judgment. Anybody know what the Great White Throne Judgment is, which is after the end of the millennium and after this final rebellion will take place at the end of the millennium? What's the Great White Throne Judgment? Just in your own words again. Jenny? Yes, all the unsaved will be raised from the dead in their bodies, and they will be cast into the lake of fire. By the way, I've shared this and given the gospel with people. I found out that Jesus said that when people are cast in the lake of fire, it's a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Does anybody know what that means, where the worm dieth not? Yes.
I was listening to Jim.
Exactly right. You're Joe, right? Yes, Joe, good to have you here. Joe's visiting with us. That's where the worms actually will eat away at your body. Like if your body dies now and goes in the ground, bugs and worms will eat your flesh. In the lake of fire, worms will always be eating your flesh. In other words, your body will always be dying, but you'll never die out of the pain and the horror of it. Fire will always be burning around you and on you, but it will never burn you up. So that's why it's called the second death. It's not a pleasant experience. It's a horrible thing, and you can't get out of there. So it's the place, Jesus said, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. That's literal. Literal. It's a place of death and decay. And so that is where people go after the Great White Throne Judgment at the end of this millennium. And that's people from the time of Cain, who was the first murderer all the way up to the last person that was not saved. They're all going to be raised from the dead and stand before God. And the book of their sins is going to be opened up. And every sin they'll have repeated, and they'll be judged for that and cast into the lake of fire. And so that's why it's very important that you know that you're saved. But this chapter 21 is talking about now what life is going to be like on earth after Satan is bound and when the Lord sets it up. So let's go to verse 1. It says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." By the way, there's two words for new. One of those words is neos. And there are two words for new, and one has to do with brand new, never been before, and the other has to do with remodeled or refurbished and changed. Kind of like you remodel a house, and it's the same house, but it's just like totally remodeled, so you can't recognize it. It's so much nicer. That's the Greek word used here for new. It is not brand new in the sense of, you know, not been here before, but it's completely remodeled and recreated and refurbished by the Lord after the day of the Lord. That's the word for new here that's being used. So that's what the time of new is. Now, when it says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea," some people have interpreted that and said, see, that is talking about after the millennium, and God's going to destroy the earth that was here, and he's going to make an entirely new earth. No, this is talking about the Lord during the millennium. You say, how do you know that? Well, whenever you look at the Bible, you need to interpret Scripture with Scripture. Not only do we have the Greek word new, which means refurbished and reconstituted, something that's been remade, but also we have Scripture. So hold your finger here, go to Isaiah 65. Go back to Isaiah 65. And I want to show you in context of the Old Testament prophet that it agrees with what we're saying in John, in Revelation, Isaiah 65, and look what it says there in verse number 20. Well, let's go back to verse 17. It says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind." Now, he's talking about creating new heavens and new earth. Now, let's see in Isaiah when that is or what time that's talking about. Go with me up to verse 19. It says, "And I'll rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall no more be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days, for the child shall die and 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed." So one of the things it says about this new heaven and new earth in Isaiah 65, verse 17 and following, is that when somebody dies at 100 years of age, they are like a baby. Now, if somebody dies at 100 today, are they like a baby? No. If somebody dies in the eternal state after the millennium, will that even happen? No. There'll be no more death after the millennium. Death is totally eradicated. So this is obviously talking about the millennium. There is a reconstituted earth, a new earth, refurbished and cleaned up, and people live and have babies and die, but they live long, long lives. And notice what it says, verse 21, "And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain nor bring forth for trouble, but for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them." So there's going to be long life. Look at verse 25. "The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion and shall eat straw like the bullock." And there's going to be the peace in the animal life. There's not going to be any cycle of nature where there's killing between beasts. Now, this is talking about the millennial kingdom. Why will people live to be so old? And when did people live to be hundreds and hundreds of years old in the past? And why? Does anybody know that? Yes, Joe?
Well, some people from the bottom, I don't know what it was, lived in the 200s.
Some people, where did you say?
I'm not sure where, but...
Yes. Yes, that's where I'm from. And I've been eating those. So. Yes.
Before the day of the flood, they lived to be up to as old as Jesus.
Yes, before the day of the flood, Methuselah lived to be 962 years old. Or 69, I'm sorry, 969 years old. He was old. And the Bible says his name means when he dies it shall come, and that meant the flood. It's interesting, before the flood, they didn't eat animals, did they? They ate vegetables and all that. They didn't eat animals till after the flood. So the key to living long is be a vegetarian. No, I'm just kidding you. Actually, before the flood, the climate was not near as harsh as it is now. The climate is way harsher. And one of the things that happened that changed everything was what? Does anybody know what the flood caused, big change? Greg Sobotnik?
There was a barrier between in the atmosphere between the filter.
Exactly. And we know that that barrier was made of water. Either it was ice crystals or literal water that created a canopy effect, like a greenhouse. So the whole earth was like a big greenhouse. And all the harmful rays of the sun were filtered out. It also caused the earth to be one big giant hyperbaric chamber. Have you ever heard of a hyperbaric chamber? It's an oxygen chamber with concentrated oxygen. So they have discovered people that lived during that time. Noah and his crowd, they were probably 10 feet tall. They grew real tall. And so we did get the short end of the stick, Joe. They were really tall back then because they lived in this hyperbaric chamber, and that oxygen-rich environment meant that they could just run and run and run and not get tired. And they lived a long time because the sun would filter out the harmful radiation. So if you could live in an oxygen-rich chamber for your whole life and you could line it with lead to keep, you'd live to be 900 years old. But that, you know, it's hard to do today. But you got all these holes in your body from the x-rays coming down on you. And every time you go to the dentist, they nail you again, you know. And so that kind of canopy is coming back. During the day of the Lord, it's very possible that, remember we talked about those 100-pound hail, which is really not ice, but it's volcanic big rocks. It'll hit the oceans, and God will cause the water to come back around the earth. By the way, where is all the water of the flood? Where is all the water? People say, this flood that flooded the earth. Where is the water? Cynthia?
Well, some of it is our oceans and lakes.
Yeah, most of the earth is oceans.
Some of it would have been evaporated up into the atmosphere.
Yes, and some of it would have sunk down into underground caverns where a lot of it came from originally anyway. So, yes, Joe?
Also, it's around the earth.
Yes. Well, actually, you're talking about clouds and that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Actually, if you took all the clouds around the earth right now, and this is an argument against the flood. This is why people say, the flood was impossible. You say it flooded the mountains and everything. How could that happen? If you took all the water and you rained it down on the earth, it would only be like 2 inches deep throughout all the earth. So they argue against that. But what happened was somehow there was a a meteor or something that hit the earth caused it to crack, caused the tectonic plates to crack. That's why we've had earthquakes ever since then. The earth is like a big egg that's all cracked. And there's these plates that, and from underneath those plates and the crust of the earth came all this water that God had in the earth, these underground water caverns, and they shot up. And also it caused that canopy that was around the earth to break up and to come down. And so the flood came down and went up. And but that created a different atmosphere. After the day of the Lord, God is going to cause that canopy to come back up there, and it's going to be one big tropical paradise. No longer are animals going to eat animals. It'll no longer be a dog-eat-dog world. And so it's going to be different. However, during the millennium, there will be some eating of animals, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But anyway, the climate's going to be totally different, and it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful climate. But here's the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is that in verse 1 of Revelation 21, when he says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven, the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea," he's not talking about something after the millennium. He's talking about what it's going to be like right after the day of the Lord. He's going to be talking about what it's going to be like on the first day of the thousand-year reign of Christ. This, according to Isaiah 65, verse 17 and following, is what he's talking about. The millennial earth. Very important you understand it. But wait a minute. It says there's no more sea. No more sea. Now, if you study the Bible, it's very clear that there will be seas during the millennium. There will be seas. Ezekiel 47 says that from the throne of God will come fresh water. It will go into the Dead Sea and it will heal the waters of the Dead Sea. And people will be able to fish in the Dead Sea just like they do in the Mediterranean Sea, and they'll catch a whole lot of fish. That's during the millennium. Well, how can that be then if it says here there's no more sea? So people have said, you see, that is talking about something after the millennium. This is a different time. No, it's not. I got my Webster's 1828 dictionary and I looked up sea. You should do it. Sea is not only small bodies of water that are salt like the Dead Sea and the Mediterranean Sea. The word sea, in one of the main definitions of sea in the Webster's 1828 dictionary, are these huge oceans like the Atlantic and the Pacific. So when he says here, when John says here there's no more sea, he doesn't mean there won't be a Dead Sea or there may not be a Mediterranean Sea. What he means is that there will be no more huge oceans. That the huge oceans of the world will change and be part of a canopy. And by the way, the oceans are a reminder to us of judgment and the flood. And God's going to remove them and cause them to go back to their places. And so there's going to be no more huge oceans. Most of the world is going to be land area during the millennium, like it was, by the way, before the flood. It's going to go back like it was before the flood. And it's going to go back like it was in the Garden of Eden. And so this is talking about the renovation of the earth after the day of the Lord and the way that God is going to be doing that at that time. Now, by the way, I want to show you this. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3, because he talks about that there in 2 Peter chapter 3. The same thing. 2 Peter 3, and go to verse 10. And I want you to notice 2 Peter 3, verse 10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Now, let's just look at that verse number 10. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. First of all, when is this day of the Lord that will come like a thief in the night? When will it come? When will the day of the Lord come? Will it come today? What day will it begin? How will it begin, or when will it begin? Give me an idea of when the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, which the elements will melt with a fervent heat, right?
It come at right after the seal, which is kind of in the second 3.5-year period. 7 years.
All right, Greg is going to the final 7 years before the millennium, which is in Daniel 9, 24 through 27, the final 7 years, called Daniel's 70th week. He's going to Revelation 6 now, and he's talking about after the sixth seal. After the sixth seal, by the way, the seals, remember, are broken, each of them in succession. There are seven seals, and when they're all broken, the wrath of God is revealed. And the day of the Lord is the revelation of the wrath of God, when God caused hell to come on earth, when he pours out his wrath, his judgments upon this earth by fire. He did it by water, now he's going to give fiery judgments. And that starts in to be recorded after Revelation, in Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8 starts that. Now, so, after the sixth seal, there's going to be signs in the cosmos, in the stars, in the sun, the moon, that the day of the Lord is about to begin. And then the seventh seal will be broken and the day of the Lord will begin. When God begins to pour his wrath upon this earth, and that will happen, as Greg said, sometimes during the second 3.5 years of the 7 years. We don't know the day or the hour when it will begin, but we do know the signs that lead up to it if we study the Bible. We will be here all through the 7 years until just before the day of the Lord, when the Lord will, as he returns to pour out his day of the Lord wrath, the first thing he's going to do is rapture his believers up to meet him in the air, because he's not appointed us to wrath. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Okay? And so this is talking about that. That's why it's saying that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now, why does he say the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, since he's given us all the signs to look for and to be ready for? Why is it coming as a thief in the night? Bob Watso.
The world's not going to be ready for it, just us.
It's going to come as a thief to the world. The world will think prosperity's finally come. We finally handled our economic problems. By the way, the United States is in huge trouble economically. We are going down big time. I'm going to tell you right now, I believe, this is just my opinion, we are going to go into a hyperinflationary depression. Not recession, I didn't say that. I said a hyperinflationary depression. That will be worse than the 1930s, because in the 1930s you didn't import everything. We're importing everything. And in the 1930s you did not have prices going up. You have what they're doing now, like they're dropping. First they're going to drop, and then boom, they're going to monetize the debt. And the debt's going to be huge, and it's going to cause a hyperinflationary depression. Yes, Joe? Yeah, that's what it is. It's when you have a lot of printing of money, but prices skyrocket and they go way up. And so then people won't really have enough money to pay for things. It's going to be just a terrible time. And that's what we're looking for. Isn't that encouraging? But this is going to be solved. This is going to be solved by the world government. It's all going to be solved. And a time of peace and prosperity is coming. Everybody's going to be rich and happy. Except for those that don't go along with that world government. And that's going to be a time of great tribulation. But the day of the Lord's going to come. And notice what it says here in verse number 11. It says, seeing then that... Verse number 10, it says that the earth also and the works that are there shall be burned up. So during the day of the Lord, there's going to be devastation. And one of the final judgments of the day of the Lord, one of the bold judgments, is going to bring great devastation just before the Battle of Armageddon, which will bring great devastation. But what is it that's going to bring great devastation? A great something is going to happen. Anybody know what it is? Mary?
Is it the great battle when Christ comes back?
Well, that's the Armageddon. That's going to be great devastation, no doubt about it. But I'm thinking of just before that. Bob?
The great
There's a great earthquake. It's going to level all the mountains, and then that volcanoes will shoot up, and like I said, all those big 100-pound rocks will fall on the world. And great devastation. And the place is going to look terrible. So that after the Battle of Armageddon, as the Lord is back on earth, and he gathers people for the sheep and goat judgment there in Israel, where all the nations are gathered before him and separated like sheep and goats, they're just going to see nothing but devastation all over the world. It's going to be like destroyed. All the houses, it'll be like the worst scene you could ever imagine. By the way, you can't take it all with you. It's all going to burn during the day of the Lord. It's all going to be destroyed. Every house gone. Most beautiful houses gone. And people will look out and they'll like, oh. But notice what it says in verse 12. Watch this. Verse 12. Follow me. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. That's the day of the Lord. Wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved. We just talked about that. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. That's all the destruction, right? We just talked about it. Now look what it says in verse 13. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Well, what's his promise? Isaiah 65, 17 and following. The new heavens and the new earth is going to be what he's going to do in the millennium. What's he going to do on the first day of the millennium then, according to that? What's he got to do with all that destruction? What's the Lord going to do when he gathers everybody to Israel, everybody there for the sheep and goat judgment, everybody there? He's got to do something on the first day of the millennium according there to verse 13. What does it look like he's going to do according to his promise? Cynthia?
Sounds like he's going to do a major remodeling job.
Exactly! A major remodeling job! On the first day of the thousand-year reign, he's going to literally recreate, refurbish the whole thing, get rid of all the junk, and redo it in a moment. And these guys are worried about global warming. They ought to be worried about God's warm when he gets warm in the face. Because he's going to destroy this thing. And not because of carbon footprints, because of our sin. Our sin. And then he's going to remake it before the millennium begins. And the Bible talks about this. In fact, go to Matthew 19, verse 28. I'll show you. It's there as well. Matthew 19 and verse number 28. The Bible speaks about what we're talking about here. And look at this. Jesus talked about this. So it's not just John. It's not just Isaiah. It's not just Peter. It all agrees together. The Word of God is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. Verse 28 of Matthew 19 says, And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you that ye which have followed me. By the way, are you following Jesus? If you could say, I got saved and my life basically since I got saved has been to follow the Lord as the Holy Spirit has led me according to the Word of God, the Bible. He says, they which have followed me, he says, in the regeneration, listen to this, the regeneration, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of His glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. What's that talking about? The regeneration. That's when He regenerates the earth. At the beginning of the millennium. When He recreates the earth, and there's a new heaven and a new earth. That's what He's talking about. Same thing, you'll see, you want to hear Paul talk about it? Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. You got Jesus, you got Peter, you got John. Let's go to Paul in Romans chapter 8. And look at verse number 19 and you'll hear the Pauline language. Romans 8. I like what he says in verse 18. Before that he says, For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, the blizzards, the cold, the sickness, the aging process, all that, we've lived in rough times. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Look at this, for the earnest expectation of the creature, that's the creation, by the way, the whole creation, the world, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. They wait for the sons of God to return with the Lord to reign over the earth. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature of the creation itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, but not during the millennium. The lion will lie down with the lamb. We won't have the seasons when you have, you know, spring and summer, and then fall comes, and then back to winter, and just goes boom, boom. It'll be an eternal spring, a time of beauty. And that's what the Bible talks about in this regeneration. One more verse on this. Go to Acts 3 and a sermon in Acts 3. Same thing, verse 25, Acts 3. I just want to show you that this new heaven and new earth is what we're talking about. It's coming at the beginning of the millennium. On the first day of the millennium, it's coming. And it's going to be a great time. Let's see, Acts chapter 3. And it says, look at verse 20. Yeah, let's go to verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven, verse 21, must receive until, look at this, the times of restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. What is the restitution of all things? When he brings it back to like it was in the Garden of Eden. For 6,000 years since Adam fell into sin, the world has been cursed. And the animals have fought one another. And then there was the flood, and there's the earthquakes and the tornadoes and the hurricanes and the winters and the harsh climate. Early death. God says, I'm going to bring the earth back, and it's going to be beautiful again, like the Garden of Eden, and the restitution of all things. He's going to bring it back, starting with the millennial kingdom of Christ. And that's the new heaven and the new earth. Very important that you understand that in verse 1. Now, let's go back to Revelation very quickly because we just finish up here. Revelation 21. And look what it says in verse 2. And he says, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, look at verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, and so forth. Now, first day of the millennium, there's going to be the sheep and the goat judgment. First day of the millennium, he's going to recreate and renovate the earth. First day of the millennium, out of the third heaven, we come down with the city called the New Jerusalem. And the city of the New Jerusalem comes down out of heaven. And the Bible says in other places that that city will come down and it will be right over the top of an elevated Mount Zion, where the temple of God is. The millennial temple of God is on the top of that mountain. And the city, the New Jerusalem, the bottom of it, will surround that temple of God on elevated Mount Zion, kind of merging the heavenly Jerusalem right with the earthly Jerusalem, and will hover over it during the millennium. Now, keep in mind, this is the first time we have come down after the earth has just been renovated. Now we come down in that heavenly city. I don't believe we've been here when Christ fought the battle of Armageddon. He wouldn't fight that with his bride. You don't take your bride to fight. That was done by angels. We're up there enjoying the glories of heaven. We don't have any death or sickness at all. Even during the millennium, there'll be some death, not for us. And that city will glow with the glory of the Lord, and that will give light to the earth. So not only will the earth have sunlight, it will have S-O-N light as the city, and we won't need any sunlight in our heavenly city. That, by the way, we're not going to live in heaven, though, forever. We're going to live in a heavenly city right above the earth, and we'll reign with Christ on the earth. Isn't that interesting? That's interesting. And so that's what the Bible says is going to happen. And what's happened in heaven? As you have the rapture, the first thing you have is a reunion with your Lord and with loved ones. And you get to spend time with them. Then you have the judgment seat of Christ to get your rewards so you can get ready for reigning with Christ. And then after that, you have a marriage in heaven, a wedding between you and the Lord. Because right now we're like engaged to the Lord or espoused to the Lord, but then we'll be married to Him. And now we come down the earth for the honeymoon. And the first thing we're going to have when we come down on the earth is the reception or the marriage supper. And that will be on Mount Zion right there on the earth. Remember, the heavenly city comes down and surrounds the temple of Mount Zion, the millennial temple. And there we have a picnic. We have a supper called the reception or the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that's going to be what's going to happen on the first day of the millennium as well. And so that's going to happen then. And by the way, here's a further description of the situation there, of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Look at Matthew 26 real quick. Matthew 26. This is all on the first day of the millennium. What a day. Matthew 26. And I'm looking at, it should be around verse 29. See if you can find it somewhere in there. Yep, there it is. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day, that's the first day of the millennium, when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So we're going to have the marriage supper there with Christ right on top of Mount Zion on the millennial earth, the new earth, after we've come down with the new Jerusalem. What a day that'll be. Who's going to be invited to that? All the saints that have survived the day of the Lord, the Jewish saints that have survived the day of the Lord, the Gentiles that have been saved and survived the day of the Lord, the ones at the sheep and goat judgment that were saved at that time and put on the Lord's right hand as the sheep will be there. The angels will probably wait on the tables there, and we will have, we will be the queen with the Lord as the king over the earth. What a day that's going to be. Isaiah 25 talks about that. We won't look at that right now. But what a day that is going to be. That's our future. And we'll talk a little bit more and finish up on all of this next time. We'll stop there. But that's our future. That's what we have to look forward to. Thank God that He's going to make it all good. Amen. Let's stop there.